Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. You might be... these intros are getting very repetitive now. I should probably spice them up a bit, but whatever.
Welcome, Gypsy, to my secret podcast.
Anyway, so we have Biscuit Dough and Suika Shoujo joining me here today.
I made it.
Yay, I'm you alive. Made it, Biz. Last week you slipped through it.
Contrary to popular belief, I still exist.
Just when you thought I was never going to come back, I came back.
Everyone's back. And yeah, so we don't have any new intros to do, but we do have another 30-second recap. Today, Biz is taking us through this one.
This week on Charlotte, Proswagonist is all better now because he keeps it real. After heading to school and being summoned for something that you'd think would actually be important, the group is force-fed some How Low Can We Go Hello, and Now reviews it perfectly. Our OTP sets up a date for some puss rock, aka good music, and go about their day, until June Maida shows up, then after a full day of being the best, tops it off by using the power of music to raise the dead and shit. Sasuga, Maida. Sasuga.
Sasuga. I freaking love Sala. She is amazing, and not a Maida self-insert. Oh yeah, we're still deciding how... Yeah, Sara.
It's the L's in the salad.
It's a salad. It's a salad. Cannon was right. It's back.
Ah, the salad.
Oh, this podcast is off to a silly start. But yeah, we don't know how to spell her name in English because they've been very indecisive about that.
You spell it in Japanese because that's how it is.
But no, it's in the credits. It's English.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, on the website, whatever. On the website, it's Sala. On the credits of the latest episode, it's Sara. So
you have to remember your pronunciation. So it's like the L A, or it's an R A, but like the R sounds kind of like an L because you got to put your tongue against your teeth. So it's Sala.
But the fact is that she is not a Japanese person.
Yeah, so I know, but you know what? Japanese people fucking made it, so that's what it is.
The debate will never end. But we need some kind of correct romanization.
There is no correct romanization, because that it doesn't exist.
No. It's like
and call her Sarla or Salra or something.
I feel like Sada is probably the closest.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. That would be R.A.
You know, because that's an actual name. That's an actual name.
Yeah, that's probably the closest.
We might have to change that on the forum. But yeah, just one of the many debates that continues on, like how to spell visual arts, because they can't decide themselves. It's giving me a nightmare. It's like, is there an apostrophe in there? Is it two words? Is it one? I don't know. Anyway, that's just like my trauma surfacing up here. What do you think of the episode, guys?
I felt like a lot of people going into this episode, myself included, were kind of not feeling the direction going back to a lighter tone.
Yeah.
Which I still feel. But the thing is that the episode wasn't necessarily a lighter tone, I don't think. I feel like a lot of the subject matter was still kind of shrouded in kind of a dark... There's definitely some dark undertones going on in the episode, even though it was kind of fun.
I feel like it accomplished a good thing going, where it's like, they had you returning to the daily life of the high school because they really need to show that. But they also did it in such a way where it's like, it's really showed that he's actually evolved as a person after everything that's happened.
Yeah, and I like the fact that whenever he's running around with Sada and stuff, like, that she notices because she just sees through everything. Haha, nice pun.
I see what you did there.
She did it in the episode, I was just pointing it out. The thing about her is she was able to notice, like, through his quivers or whatever he was doing, that, he was still being plagued by whatever had just happened, which most people would be. I mean, they're going to go back to being normal, but they're just going to have those moments where they're just like...
I think that's almost more realistic than if they had just had him, like, wallowing in misery for the rest of the series. Because, I mean, eventually...
Exactly.
When someone dies, you do eventually have to go back to your real life. I mean, you can't just go around stabbing people with dango skewers for the rest of your life. You have to kind of move on. And I mean, there's still going to be those little reminders like, oh yeah, I don't have to call home anymore, but life goes on.
He had a really sad look in his eyes at some points, too.
Yeah, I thought that was actually pretty well directed.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, like, you've just had something horrible happen to you scene was, like, that hit me hard. Like, sure, like Sara's OP, but I did really like how they kind of used that to show how Yu is coping with Aimee's death and not just, like, you know, trying to gloss it over or anything.
See, I call her Jun Maida because she's here to drive the story forward, right? She just kind of pops up and she's like, all right, we got to keep it moving. She's like addressing all of our plot. See, it's not forced. It's just
yeah. But yeah, that music video was horrible and should never have existed.
No, we're just going right into that. Yeah, that
we was need really we bad. Need to touch on it. Yeah.
So people are talking about how this episode is forced, right? Which I say is kind of 50-50. Some aspects of it are, some aspects of it.
Come on, Piss.
And specifically, the aspect of it that is forced to shit is the. I mean, it's more like filler. It's not really a plot point. Is what the fuck was it? That music video? Why was it there? Why?
Because we need to sell more CDs.
Hello, hello, advertisements, please.
Nobody is buying Hello, like, Hello, and we need to make them buy it.
I as you noticed that I said in the intro, probably, I don't know, I said it kind of fast, so I said, how low can we go hello? Because that's some cheap-ass shit to just put a music video in, like, come on.
I mean, the song itself wasn't bad, but they didn't need to play the whole thing. They really didn't.
But the dog was in it. The dog is bad,
guys. The dog, oh yeah, the most important piece
Koromaru.
Of symbolism.
Can I call the dog Koromaru? Wait, no, didn't Canon say that the dog was, that's Misa?
God.
Yeah, no, dog no, it's obviously Misa. You from the future, guys. Come on.
Okay.
That's what everyone's saying.
The dog is actually the mastermind.
Yeah.
He's the one giving them all their powers.
The dog's name is Charlotte.
But then we realize it's a different dog, and so maybe dogs are the theme of this show.
The fact that we had to go through the efforts to make sure it was the same dog or not is kind of disconcerting.
Kazuratsu.org. Join our community today.
We analyze the important things.
Hey, what else were we going to get out of this episode?
Okay. So, I guess we don't need to dwell on that too much.
Wait. No. We have to dwell for a little bit, because I do have to say one thing in its defense.
Okay.
I do have to defend it here, and this is, I guess, kind of almost devil's side. Anyways, in my defense of this, the only thing that I can say was added because of this music video, other than it being an advertisement for the Please Buy the Hello Hello CDs, was that there was a fun little dialogue after it. I thought that was entertaining. Specifically now and I was reviewing
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice little bit.
Yeah, that part was nice.
And the music, that's the issue, is like the music video dragged on, but what it did is it set up kind of No, being like, who's the best, and let's go to a concert.
I think my favorite part was probably
like,
when they're like, what the hell is post rock, and they like Google it, and they still can't figure out what it is.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
No, that was a great joke. I loved that.
But like,
that's
like, I don't understand what this means.
I still don't get it. What was really cool is obviously it's like she walks them in, right? And I feel like this is a nice little now development here. She walks them in and shows them the Hello Hello video, right? And then says, hey, let's go to a Zion concert. It's almost like she's what is that? Is it like the foot in the door technique or some shit or whatever? Where it's like are like lowballing it. Maybe it's lowballing where they're just like, here, look at this stupid shit. Now let's go watch the end.
It's like Hello Hello is like the opening act.
Yeah, it's like she's setting them up.
And the end is like the main event. God damn it. It's all part of Maya's extended troll. I feel like we should focus more on the second half of the episode, with Sara and everything that happens there. Wasn't that like, Yuichi's voice actor came back?
Yeah, he was the dude in the shop.
Yeah. And somehow, recognized Sara by the fact that she was...
or whatever the fuck he was saying.
Hi-yo. But yeah, we had him turn up, and Yeah, the rest of the episode. A lot of people, not a lot of people, there's a vocal minority that reckon the interactions between Sala and you are forced. I want to talk about that a little bit. How do you guys feel about that dynamic?
Disagree.
I disagree with that.
They felt pretty natural to me, especially because Sala's just kind of a weirdo. And I feel like she's there's more to her than she puts on. Even though it's very, very obvious that there is more to, so it's kind of, anyways, from Yu's perspective, her being kind of weird compared to our perspective of her being kind of weird are like different. So like, I feel like she's kind of mysterious, but I feel like you're supposed to feel like she's kind of mysterious, which would in turn make it feel a little unnatural. But I noticed, like, for example, a lot of people were talking about, like, well, why did she just walk up? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't happen. I actually cannot count how many concerts I've been to in my life. And about 80 to 90% of the time I go to a concert before I actually go to the venue and I'm just walking around the town or whatever because we're just hanging out, I end up seeing one, if not all, of the different performers in town at different places. Last concert I went to, we stopped at this weird little sandwich shop, like, just down the road, and, like, three of the band members for the show that we were going to just walked in, and we were eating fucking sandwiches and hanging out and talking shit, so it definitely happens.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything unrealistic about that. Yep. The fact that she is a blind person walking around alone, unescorted, in Japan is obviously weird, but that just plays into the fact that she's a fucking weird character and she doesn't give a shit.
She's just a weirdo, man.
Like, you do see that scene at the end where she's, like, getting dragged away.
Oh my god, I love that. The management just busting her balls because she was being stupid and not actually preparing for the next day.
Yeah. So yeah, like, it's not like they ignored the fact that this is a very weird situation. It's just that she is a weird character, and that's kind of it to be expected, I guess. Sasagasara. So I guess we'll talk about Na's brother now.
Oh, our Deus Ex.
Yeah.
People are not very happy about this, I suppose.
I thought it was a decent enough scene. I thought it was emotional, at least.
First of all, a very, very big issue a lot of people have been having about Hello Holo and Zend is that there's no connection between the music and the actual, like, scenes. Because they're just kind of releasing music and they're not actually, like, pairing it to anything. This was freaking awesome. It put a lot of character into that song, and, like, that was so good. Like, I really liked the scene. And another thing is, like,
now that's how you sell music.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. And, like, there was this thing about how, well, it doesn't make any sense that it would bring him out of whatever he's in. But, like, that's that dude's lifeblood, man. Like, whenever he was not in whatever state he's in now, like, all he, like, lived and breathed was that band and his future and music and things like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's very justified. And the other thing is we don't really know the extent of what that really did to him. All we got out of him was he said, no. Like, that's it. That's all we fucking got. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't necessarily call that, you know, he had, like, perfectly healed.
Yeah, if he had, like, come up and started, like, speaking complete sentences and fully aware of everything, like, that had happened, that'd be one thing, but...
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I feel like people are exaggerating the extent to which this song is, like... It's not so much mystical healing power as it is, like, oh, maybe, like, this actually reached him on some level,
and even in real life, there's, like, people who will go around and, like, volunteer in hospitals and, like, sing to people who are in comas and stuff. I mean, it's something that people do in real life and seems to have some kind of effect, so it's not like it's completely...
There are also people who are, like, in comas or, like, in vegetative states that just every now and then they come out and they'll say something or they'll move a limb or there's these small things that are attributed as breakthroughs that may not actually be breakthroughs, but it's at least a sign that there's somebody in there, maybe.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel that's really important. Just showing that, you know, even if it's not a full recovery, the fact that there is, like, still someone in that, you know, body that's, you know... There's still traces of the old brother.
These two scenes were, like, really, really, or these couple scenes were really, really great in developments for, like, all of the characters. First off, you have Now, who is just kind of like, I don't really care, whatever, it's just the music, it's just a connection, blah, 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 and she doesn't really know what it is that Yu is actually doing. You have Yu, who's actually making an active effort to try to make a change now, like, he's actually trying to do something, because he wasn't before, he was just kind of going day to day, and now he's actually, like, thinking about big pictures and stuff, he's trying to actually do good. And then you have Sera, who's just kind of like doesn't even know these people, but she really or seemingly doesn't know these people. And she's caring. She's like, oh, well, this is, you know, because I mean, I don't think there's a lot of rumors going on about whether or not she had a power at some point or not. I think she did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of signs pointing towards the fact that she probably did. But anyways,
yeah.
So that she probably understands what exactly is going on. And I mean, she is where she is, and I'm pretty sure you probably explained a few things to her.
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't hold back, like, to do something for the guy. And I think that was really good. And I wanted to point out towards the very end, there's two things in the directing that were really, 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 really well done. First off, you never see Now's face whenever
Yu calls her. Yeah, that was great.
So you don't actually know what she's expressing. And as we know about Now, she's kind of been very sporadically expressive. But we don't know what her genuine expression was towards what was happening during this. She could have been smiling. She could have been crying. We don't know.
They're saving that for the finale.
you don't really know what she was doing in those scenes, which was no, really, I think good.
We're definitely going to get another scene where, oh no, she's crying, now we have to cry, like, she's a strong one.
exactly.
Break the key.
Exactly. See, you're on the same page as me. This is really good. It's also a Mida trip. Anyways, the other thing that happens is after everything is said and done, and Yu calls her back again, and again, you don't see her face. That voice acting, though. That voice acting was so good. Because, again, Yu is the strong... Now is the strong character, and you usually don't get a whole lot of expressiveness out of her, especially, like, in her voice and things, but you could hear that quiver in her voice where she's, like, you know that she has some genuine, like, astonishment or thankfulness or something in there.
She was holding something back, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was such a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Good. Basically what you said. Still in the show,
about it.
I just had to put all of that out there about the whole, like, the second half or the last third of that episode was just all, like, brilliant. The build-up was so good, and I just loved it. So whenever I saw a lot of people who were talking about, like, they're just like, I'm not feeling it. Maybe they didn't, but I just, man, I loved that shit. That was awesome.
I thought it made up for the first half of the episode.
Mm. That made me feel so good.
Yeah, I felt really good after watching it. I wasn't expecting it to like it as much as I did.
Yeah, I was really shocked. Yeah. Like, that, it really got me. I was like, wow, that was amazing.
I'm really sorry that we can't, like, show more of the contrary opinion here, because we all seem to really like this episode.
Yeah.
There are other people that could have been on this episode who didn't like it so much, but, yeah, them's the breaks, I guess. Yeah. So I guess we should move more on to, like, speculation-related stuff. But before I do, I just want to comment that people keep comparing her to Iwasawa. There's a lot of speculations that, oh, this is actually tied to Angel Beats, and Sawa is actually Iwasawa after she got reincarnated. I'm like, stop comparing this to Angel Beats. I'm trying to make the connection.
She may have Marina singing for her, she may have red hair, she may be voiced by Sawashiro, but not an Angel Beast, and she's definitely not Iwasawa. They have very, very, very different drives and characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Very different.
I mean, yeah, comparing to Angel Beast, sure, you can call us better than Angel Beast all you like, but they're not the same show.
I mean, yeah, they're both the best characters in their respective shows, but...
Yeah. Man, so you got a great opinion.
Right?
You just racking up those biz points.
Oh, Danny. Yes.
Yeah. Grinding. That's it. That's what I'm going for.
gonna cash in those bins points for some massive...
Do I get a prize?
some mysterious prize. What will it be? Even anyway. I don't know.
Yep. And so yeah. Sara's story, that's kind of interesting, the whole about like she like cheated and like gambled away her eyesight. It's all very cryptic and weird.
To God, of course.
To God, of course, yeah.
The delivery of that line was so good. Sawashiro, you're the fucking best.
I don't think we're meant to have any idea what's going on there, but, you know, as a lot of people are saying, maybe it has something to do with, like, superpowers. Like, maybe that's why she was, like, used to be really successful. And then, Suika, you brought up the whole thing about siblings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember making a reference to this last time I was on.
Sorry.
Where everybody has a sibling, and the sibling ties are all really important. Like, I mean, there's Ayumi and Yu. There's their obvious connection. There's Nao and her brother. Now there's Sala making a reference to her brother. And then there's Yu's older brother. There's so many sibling relationships in here. Like, I can't help but wonder if that's
overarching
theme.
Wait a second. Wait a goddamn second. Okay, so she said she had a brother that was kidnapped. If her brother had a power, she was stolen by the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I think of that?
Well, yeah. It's better than Kenan's theory that she's actually Yu's older sibling. But yeah,
it kind of seemed like they had some kind of connection just by some of the stuff that she was saying. Like, that they had met before, at least. I don't know about being the sibling, the older sibling. But I can see where you'd be coming from on there being some sort of past connection that he doesn't remember.
I'm actually, like, now I have an expectation, son of a bitch. Because now, now I feel like there has to be some explanation there. There's a hole there, and I need to know what the purpose is. It can't just be there for the sake of theme. There has to be something there.
No, we'll definitely get more of Sara in future episodes. I'm pretty convinced of that.
And this is, another thing about, another thing that... Okay,
but we need to get back to Suika's point!
Sorry.
I feel like I've said it already, I mean...
But yeah, I want to, like, add on to that. It's just like, yeah, this is like the first key story we really have where sibling relationships have been such a huge focus.
They've shown up before, but this is kind of... Siblings are kind of, to Charlotte, what friendship was to Little Busters in a way.
Yeah.
And like, what like parents are like to Clannad, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel that way. Yeah, I guess that's like our next big relationship theme for the story, definitely. It's like all these comparisons drawn, like even in the early series, like, oh, what if something happened to Ayumi and like I ended up becoming like Nao? Like, that was one of the first things he said. Look what ended up happening.
No, I think he actually said that what if something happened to him and Nao ended up, or Ayumi ended up being like Nao.
Yeah, so, but it kind of went in a different direction, yeah. Well, anyway, as you were saying, Biz.
Oh, I wanted to touch on, people were talking about the content of this episode and, like, what some of the issues were in regards to character development. And Pepe actually mentioned this, and I want to say it too, that Sayla is really good. And I wanted to bring it up again, as I had said before, that I'm severely troubled by us getting these seemingly side characters with the amount of time that we have and whether or not they're going to actually be presented fully in a way that feels meaningful, because I feel like there's a lot to her character, and like I said, there's more I want to know now, and...
I really wish we had gotten her sooner.
That's a concern. Like, I feel like if and when we do get something, it better be presented really well, or we're gonna have a problem, and they're gonna need to dedicate, like, a half an episode to that shit.
That's a lot. That's a concern I keep having with this series, is that we keep getting these awesome, like, new characters and developments that are explored way too late.
It's just going to get even harder if the Brotherhood are actually any good. Like, it's really going to start troubling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, we had to have a whole episode focusing on the flying guy in the forest.
And so, the baseball episode, right?
Well, of course the baseball episode had to happen.
You mentioned negatives, and I feel like while it is kind of based in positivity because I do really like Sailor's character, I feel like that is a very, very valid concern, and that anyone saying that they are still concerned about the pacing of the series and don't think that it's going to be able to pull itself out, totally valid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm remaining casually optimistic at this point, but at the same time, I'm worried. There's only a few episodes left, and I'm still not sure where it's going to go. Usually by now, there's some kind of goal that you're working towards.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, at the very end of the episode, we have this last scene where it's like, you know, the concert's coming up, and I just got a really ominous feeling. It's like, oh, something bad is going to happen at that concert. I'm almost certain. Mm-hmm. It's just like, the one thing I came out from that episode was like, ooh, something that's ominous. Like, it wasn't directly, but just the way it was like presented there and like how we're building up to it, it's like, shit's gonna go down. And I think that's gonna like kind of set the tone for the rest of the series. That's the kind of impression I got when I watched that. Like, we need that hook. We need something to keep us watching and like bring this whole story together. And I feel like that concert, something's gonna happen. Maybe the scientists show up or something, but I don't know. Okay. Something will happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I guess we'll wrap this up. So, thanks once again for joining us for this episode, episode 8, Encounter. And next week we'll be here to talk about episode 9, The World Is Not In Here. I don't know about that translation, but whatever.
probably wrong.
But yeah, I apologize to anybody listening that we actually did get this episode out late, and that episode's already aired by now. You may have seen it, but don't worry about that. We'll be there next week to cover it all, and we hope you enjoy our coverage, because yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot to say about that. Alright, everybody listening, thanks for joining us. Thanks Biz and Suka for joining me again here, and
my pleasure.
We'll see you all next week.
Bye everybody.
Are you?